title of this is The Great Surprise. So it's something that, and there I am again. A great surprise. Okay. Most of us have lost someone. Unfortunately, earlier this year, I lost a dear friend. Shouldn't have gone there. Sometimes very close, very important in our lives. Sometimes it was a sudden. We didn't know it was going to happen. Other times we knew we were just waiting for that time to come. The important thing is, with all of these, if they are in Christ and we are, we know we're going to see them again. That when we're in heaven, we'll be able to embrace and enjoy and just go from there for eternity with the loved ones that already have passed. What if you had that person back? Just think a second. All of a sudden, they appeared again. Would you be shocked, surprised, overjoyed? All kinds of emotions. Well, that's what we just celebrated on Resurrection Day. The disciples, the apostles, were all of that. Whatever you want to say, they were shocked, surprised, confused. But why were they surprised? We're going to look at some scriptures, which Dave was just basically leading in. So, first one, Matthew 16, 21. Now, I'm reading out of the NIV, I guess that is too, or? Okay. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Okay, number one. One page over, Matthew 17, 22 to 23. Then they came together in Galilee. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life." And the disciples were filled with grief. Understandable. Second time he said it. Staying with Matthew 20, 17 to 19. "Why do you ask me what is good?" No, what I'm, forget that. Chapter 20, 17 to 19. I looked at the wrong chapter. Yeah. "Now, as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside and said to them, 'We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked, flogged, and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life.'" You think they might have remembered something. That's the third time just in Matthew. Now, I have more. We're going to go over to Mark now. Obviously, different gospel. Might have heard it at the same time, but he heard it. 8:31. "He then began to teach them, 'The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again.'" I have one more. Going to Luke, another gospel. And this is 9:22. "And he said, 'The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and teacher of the law, and he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. Now that's five. There's probably easily another five that I could have put in there, but as I said to Ken, I don't want it to go real long. So it's something that, and he said he must be killed. So it's something that I was thinking through this, and I sat down Monday, this past Monday, and I had all these notes when I was volunteered to give the message. Right away, I had a thought in mind, and I don't know what you do, but through the weeks, I write down notes and notes, and then Monday, I just sat down, and in an hour, I wrote this all out. And so I know Joel has his computer here, and I have my fancy labels in my Bible. Now, his disciples knew what was going to happen. They heard it. So why weren't they prepared? And the bigger question is, are we any different today? When you hear something bad, something frustrating, something, I don't want to hear that. How do you deal with it? Oh, hello. Or when you hear something great, some great news. Oh, God, I'm tremendous. All this, you go out and tell everybody. So we all cope with things differently. Good, bad, whatever the news is, God made each of us, we process different ways. Linda and I, we will look at the same thing, and I'll look at one way, she'll look at another way, and we come together, try to figure out what to do. So the disciples heard this news many times, as I just read, and again, many more. But they also saw all kinds of fantastic things that Jesus was doing. He's just, in his normal life, what if you can call it normal, healing people, just all kinds of interesting ways, just ministering, constantly giving of himself. And I thought through this, and I wonder if they thought, gee, I wonder if this stuff, what he said before, if possibly it changed. Because all of this great stuff is happening, could we have a different outcome now? Obviously, we know it didn't. Especially since he must be killed. It's not like it's an option or whatever, I must. And at least two, if not three, of the scriptures there. So they didn't seem to remember, or they didn't want to believe it, which again, we do today. You hear something bad, you kind of stuff it. You ever hear that phrase? You just stuff it and you put your head in the sand, the ostrich theory, whatever. You don't want to face up to it. That's kind of how I'm thinking that disciples possibly were dealing with all this. Until his resurrection. Well, now let's look at somebody who is famously known as Doubting Thomas. So now we're going to go to John chapter 20, 19 to 29. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. When the other disciples told him that they had seen the Lord, he declared, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here in my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Need a drink. So here's somebody. Wasn't Thomas supposed to be a doctor? No? Who is? Luke. Okay. But Thomas was there. He heard Jesus himself, "I must die, I will rise again," at least 10 times that I read. Now he has all his brothers, "I saw him, I saw him, I saw..." I don't believe any of you. Until I see Jesus right here and I can put my finger in that hole, I don't trust you. I don't believe you. Now again, think of that person that you had lost. And now think of the disciples. They had Jesus back. How excited would they be? After the second time, Thomas is now excited. He had to be proven, but he's excited. So next, let's go. Now we're going to go to Acts chapter 1, verse 3. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Now again, thinking of that person, that loved one, thinking of the disciples. Every time, I can only imagine, obviously, not being there. Old, not that old. But every time Jesus appeared, and they never knew. As it said, they were in a locked room, and he just showed up. So every time he appeared, if I was there, I would be clinging on to Jesus, listening to every word, even though they listened before when they really wanted to hear the message. Now, how much more important? You have this bonus time, this extra time with this individual, our Messiah, that we had no idea was going to happen. Just imagine that if you had that with this friend, relative, whoever, how precious that would be. So, page 2. Yeah, maybe more than 12 minutes. Sorry, Ken. Now, as we've read, Jesus was with them for about 40 days. And this time, when he was preparing to leave, it was totally different. They went out, and he was peaceably, saying that, taken up into the clouds. They saw him go drift right up, float right up. And one of the last things that he said, that he taught, as we call the Great Commission, which was not only for them, but for all of us, for every human that will ever live until we're no longer here on this earth. That leads us to the next great surprise, something that we all are waiting for have no idea how, when, whatever. So now I have a couple more scriptures. John 14, 1 to 3. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. So I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Next. 1 Corinthians 15, 51, 52. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. One more verse. First Thessalonians 4:16-17. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. That is an awesome thought. Now that's, again, there's more scriptures, but that's three times. How many times did the disciples hear, he's going to die but raise? There's many more times he told us the second great surprise is going to happen. So are we prepared? Now, I'm not, by no means am I saying I know when, where, or anything this is going to happen. We've had those discussions. Everyone, men's group, we've had there's other scriptures that pinpoint different things, but there is nowhere, in fact, just the opposite, that says we will never know. If anybody says this date, I guarantee it's not that date. So that's as far as I'm going on that subject. All I know is I'm telling you it's going to happen and to be prepared. So you almost ready, Pat? So with that, so unlike the disciples, who heard the message, who heard it directly from Jesus, Thomas doubting his brothers, and then finally believed because he physically saw, we won't physically see anything until things happen. So we have the Holy Spirit right here. We each have a speck of God living in us. And that speck can create enormous things in all of our lives. And we have God's word to guide us. So yes, there's going to be another great surprise. And those of us who have accepted Christ, and it could be before this message is done, or it could be 10,000 years. I have no idea. Nobody has any idea. In a twinkling of an eye, we're gone. All of our bodies will be totally pure, totally blemish-free, totally sin-free, just beyond our comprehension. I'll get to it. Okay. Thank you, Steve. Nope, it's right here. Okay. So, but what about those that didn't? Those that all of a sudden this happened, and there's going to be excuses, there's going to be this, that, and whatever. Some of them are going to grab a Bible and remember, oh, I remember hearing those. I thought they were just crazy verses. I didn't understand it, so why would I believe it? Anybody really understand what God does? If you understand it, you have a very, 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 very small image of God. Some of them will pick up the Bible and start reading. And unfortunately, now they have to prepare for what is yet to come. So what is our task? Going back to the Great Commission. To allow the Holy Spirit to work in each and every one of us. That speck. So that none of us, or no one that we know, is caught by that second great surprise. And what was it, Alan Yoder? To allow the love revival to work. Now again, a surprise can be a great thing or it could be a terrible thing. Just because it's a surprise, it's just a word. What happens is what happens. One thing we do know, Jesus is never surprised. Something that you will never hear in heaven. I didn't know that. So, and the other thing, is that the right way to put it? As I said, there's a speck of God in us, the Holy Spirit, who wants to do tremendous things. We just have to let him. Now, yesterday I was at a men's group, Shady Maple. Al invited me in. That was about a movie, but the ministry is called 10 Million for Christ. TMFC, I guess, is their logo. And they had these things that Steve was mentioning. Now, you ever read a book without words? It's my favorite book. How about one without pictures? That's harder. Well, that's what this is. I don't know if you can see it. It's this little cardboard thing. And there's a little stack of them back there with a card for each one. And what it is, it's to help someone share. Each color, going down the list here, black, obviously, stands for sin. Sin in our lives, sin that we have to deal with. Red, well, should not be a shock, the blood of Christ. And it goes into more detail. White, the purity we have in God. Green, kind of goes along with what Dave was saying with the green growth, is our growth in our personal lives. And yellow is the most important as the end result, heaven, which all of these pages lead us to heaven. So I just grabbed a small stack. They're there. I don't know much about the ministry, but I thought this was kind of interesting. So I asked, and they gave me some of these. So Lord, again, you're not surprised about anything that's going to happen. I heard in one of the ministries this morning that I listened to, when Moses asked your name, you said, I am. You didn't say I was. You didn't say I will be. I am. That means he's here. He's with us. I am that I am. He's with us all the time. So, Lord, I lift up each of us with all the things, everything that you know exactly what's happening in our spiritual, physical relationships, whatever it is. Joel and Carrie, as they are learning, as they're ministering, everyone that's going to hear this message, whenever they hear this message, that we are all letting you work in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.